Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. It's time to take responsibility for liberty. And he starts off his book in the introduction. The very first sentence sums up my feeling. Today, the American dream is under assault. I could not agree more. Please welcome my guest, Francisco Gonzalez. He's recently released a book, The American Dream is a Terrible Thing to Waste. I love that title. 100 Agents of Innovation Share Their Fearless Journeys in Today's Economy. Francisco, welcome to the show.
Jason, great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I know you're a busy man. You've got an event coming up in Orlando really quick. What's the date, the time, location, all that?
So the date is this Thursday, May 11th, 4 to 7 p.m. Stop by anytime to the / distillery. It's a brand new distillery actually in Winter Park and really great entrepreneurial story they have as well, what they're doing there. And I'll give some brief remarks about the book around 6 p.m. Cool. But what I'm marketing it as, Jason, is a book and bourbon pairing, two of my favorite things, books and bourbon.
That sounds like a great event. That's awesome. So I know you're very busy. We've got a little bit of time with you. I wanted to dig into the book a little bit and how you got into where you are, because when we first met, that was back in the Tea Party days, and you were with the James Madison Institute, I believe, and so you were heavily into politics, and this book is not necessarily political in nature. How did you transition? Why?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, even though in that time of my life, perceived to be in politics, because I have to deal with a lot of political people and political ideas, really, I always viewed it as in public policy, right? The James Madison Institute, free market, public policy think tank, had a perspective, but always delivered great information for the people of Florida and the lawmakers of Florida, headquartered in Tallahassee. So, but as I was in that movement through a few different organizations I worked for. Most recently was National Review Institute, a nonprofit organization. And I left that job 2 years ago, mostly because I wanted to embark on my fearless journey. And I ended up starting a company called Fearless Journeys to help people build an entrepreneurial mindset. So we do things like, we have a book club, not just reading my book. We read lots of books, lots of really great books. Think about Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and you know, Atomic Habits by James Clear, all sorts of great books. Mm-hmm. Then we also have great group coaching sessions. So I've had a podcast for the last 8 years called Agents of Innovation. And I invited a lot of my previous podcast guests who are really great innovators and entrepreneurs to be part of the Fearless Journeys community. So people that join as members get access to those entrepreneurs. Every month we have a live group coaching session led by one of them, and we have more than 50 in the community. So we're never going to run out of great people to talk to. And then also I put together some really great group trips. So I brought people to Guatemala. We've gone to Nashville. We've gone to Uruguay and Argentina. We've got another great trip to Guatemala this November. And we're going to go to Medellin, Colombia, believe it or not, in October. So it's going to be a lot of fun ways for people to connect with each other and learn.
And you were just in Nashville. Because I follow your Instagram, and it seems like you're all over the place in different countries, and you're planning these trips and scoping out some places, and I'm living through you. Someday I do want to go on one of those fearless journeys, but you've been all over the place. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. It's fun. You know, I have always loved to travel. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been to about 28 countries now, 47 states. I got three more to knock down, including right there in the Midwest, Iowa and North Dakota. And then I got to get out to Hawaii at some point. So if anyone's listening and wants to bring me there, I'm happy to go. I love traveling, and what traveling does is it helps you build a fresh perspective, see the world from a different perspective, come back with new ideas. Maybe sometimes it's just a break from your daily routine, and then you come back and you think differently, but also you meet people that have lived different lives. But we also connect people on our trips with really inspiring entrepreneurs in those local places. So I had a bunch of different people we met with in Nashville, but also in Guatemala, right? So you're dining with these people, you're going and you're, you know, in Guatemala, for example, we go to an independent coffee farm owned by this wonderful family that has built this coffee farm over the last 25 years. And, you know, their coffee is now ranked number 14 in Guatemala. So you get to meet and these people and have lunch with them and visit their homes and their places. So it really kind of inspires you and forms connections as well. So that's why I really love adding the travel element to this community.
And it's interesting, you said in the beginning there, you said travel enables you to view these places with a different perspective. And it's weird you said it's a different perspective, because when you're there, it's the perspective is based on reality. It's not based on these perceived connotations you had of a place and, you know, where did you learn that? Where were you fed that perception? And then you go there and it's not just a different perspective, but it's reality. You get to meet real people. And I've seen you. I love you. I think you have a great approach when you meet people. It's that smile and it's very welcoming, and you have these conversations about real stuff that they're experiencing. And I love that approach that you have. So the reality of it, I love that.
Thank you. You know, I can think of one person I took on it was my third group trip to Guatemala last December. And he had got there Friday evening. We had dinner. We saw Guatemala City on Saturday. On Sunday, we're at this coffee farm I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And then it was amazing. And it's on the side of this mountain. It's like a couple hundred acres. And this family built it. The father actually was born into poverty. And he's in his 50s now. And 25 years ago, him and a couple of his brothers started by just buying a little plots of land. And now he has five kids for ages like 14 to like 32. And they're all helping different parts of the coffee farm, plus different workers that they've employed there. And the father is now the mayor of that little small town. So, and then we're having lunch with the family after also having a great conversation for about a half hour with the father, with the mayor.
Yeah.
And one of my attendees on my trip, first time in Guatemala, just out of the blue says, "Wow, people really got to get out here." He's like, "This is not what you see on CNN."
Right.
You know, this is not what you see. Because we're told that a place like Guatemala is just filled with people who are poor. It's dangerous. And yes, right. Is there poverty? Sure. Can you find danger? Almost anywhere in the world. But I think just spending some time in a place like Guatemala, it's really beautiful. The people are some of the most hospitable people. They welcome, you know, and that family is an example of, they don't just welcome you to their home.
Yeah.
They meet you and they say, "This is now your home. Not only are you welcome here, this is your home. Come anytime." So it's, you know, it's very rare to hear something like that.
When you travel, I wonder, do they, and it sounds like they don't, but do they have preconceived notions or perceptions, connotations, thoughts about Americans?
You know, it depends, I think, where you are. Mm-hmm. In Guatemala, you know, as you know, a lot of Guatemalans have made their way to the United States, some legally, some not legally, but they've gone on a very fearless journey of their own. Mm-hmm. And so actually, there's so many Guatemalans that send money back to their family. I think it's some really ridiculous number. I don't know the exact. I want to say it's around 30% of the GDP of Guatemala is remittances from family members in the United States that send money back. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Guatemalans have either been to the United States or have family that have been to the United States. So they're very familiar and they love the United States and they love Americans. And they feel like this country has offered them so much great opportunities. And that's kind of a little bit of what even inspired part of my book is, like, you know, we might be complaining that economic opportunities are drying up. We might be complaining about inflation or government regulation, or COVID shutdowns, economic lockdowns, all these sorts of things that we have a lot of anxiety now on the horizon, AI, right, taking away right. jobs. But the immigrant from a place like, say, Guatemala walks into this country, the United States, and they just see opportunity everywhere. And in a sense, that's the entrepreneurial mind. The mm-hmm. entrepreneurial mind is to say, I see opportunities where other people don't, and I'm going to go take advantage of them.
Right. And so back to the first sentence of your book, today the American dream is under assault, but they're coming anyway, because it's still the land of opportunity, right? I just, how aware are they of how under assault it is?
Oh, they're aware, because look, I don't only I interface with a lot of different types of people in a lot of countries. I could say, in Guatemala, I've had the privilege to interface with probably people that live in the top 10%, right? And they're doing well. They own businesses. These are some of the kinds of people we visit when we're on our trips. And oftentimes, some of the ones that I've gotten to know, I mean, I actually lived in Guatemala for about a year in like 2021 to early 2022. I taught at a great free market university there, actually, Francisco Marroquin University. But I meet people, and they, once they get to know me, and they also know I share their values, they say, what is going on in the United States?
Right.
Because when the United States catches a cold, they said, we get the flu. So they know, and Guatemala is a very friendly country to the United States. We helped them out a lot over the past century. So they're very aware of the help that they've got from us as well. But they know they don't want to see opportunities drying up in the United States. And they also want to know that we're not, you know, kind of going crazy with some of the
right.
some of the things going on here culturally as well.
So you start off the book introducing 10 common characteristics of entrepreneurs succeeding in today's economy. So really what the book is, based on your podcast, you've been interviewing all these people that have been giving their insights to their journeys. Actually, before we dig into some of the content, who are some of the people that you will be able to see that you've interviewed?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah. So there's all sorts of entrepreneurs and innovators, mm-hmm. even some musicians. You know, I have in this book, there's about 45 people for my first 100 episodes. And it's really amazing. I mean, you might know a few of the names. Mm-hmm. I have a former congressman in this book, Madison Cawthorn. Mm-hmm. I interviewed him before he became a congressman, but it was not really to talk politics. We were talking about his story of recovering from an accident, a car accident he had that put him in a wheelchair, you know, probably for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And he was lucky to survive that. But how did he change course? How did he change course? I have another friend who I knew before he was in a car accident who had a similar situation. Not only did he lose both of his legs, the use of his leg, actually, his legs are amputated, unlike Madison. Madison's legs are not amputated. But my friend also had one of his hands amputated, and that's John Morris. Well, John was a huge traveler like me, and you thought it was great that he survived his car accident, but it's sad that he lost three of his limbs, especially sad knowing how much he travels and loves to explore the world, and that part of his life would probably be shut down. Well, don't count out John Morris, because John actually has been, in the last 10 years since his accident, he's been to 50 different countries
wow.
in his wheelchair. He's also started a company helping people chart their course despite their disabilities. And that is a company called Wheelchair Travel. So I have a whole story about John, and it's really inspiring. A mutual friend, I think of ours, I think you know her, Karen Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Karen has, for many years, for about 30 years, her family had a really great student travel company called Sunshine Educational Tours. It brought tens of thousands of students every year to Washington, D.C., St. Augustine, Orlando, all sorts of great places.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her company, no matter how much success you have, this is what Karen told me, the future of your success is not guaranteed. And who could have saw the COVID shutdowns coming, right? Who could have saw that coming? Well, there were two businesses you didn't want to be in during the beginning days of COVID.
Right. Travel.
Travel and education. And yeah. you put those two things together, despite a successful track record of 30 years, their company was forced to close and lay off their employees.
Mm.
And her mother actually retired at that point as well. Well, Karen shifted her talents. You know, you and I both know Karen. She's got an array of amazing experiences in her life, including as a middle schooler, her family lived in Mexico City, where she rode the bus every day to school. While her parents took care of kids in an orphanage with the Salvation Army. She also was a cashier at Publix when she was in high school back in Boca Raton. So she had all these very formative experiences where she had to just learn by doing and start to learn to meet people and interact with people. And that, you know, when you learn that about Karen and you know who she is today, you're like, well, this makes sense. These are the formative experiences
right.
that enabled her to be the person she is today. And then she shifted after the pandemic, after her company shut down. And now she has a really fantastic company called Key Innovative Solutions that's helping connect industry and education, who are mostly not talking to each other, But you know, education needs to know what industry needs are so that they can help students develop the skills that the workforce requires. And industry, you know, needs to help education in that effort as well, so that they can have a pipeline of students. And you don't necessarily have to go to college to develop these types of skills. And Karen is going right there in the middle and bringing all these people together based on her really great skill sets.
Right. That is excellent. Did I see John Crossman in here as well?
John Crossman, yes, who is in Orlando. Crossman and Company, he and his brother, when I first met John, you know, him and his brother have this company, Crossman and Company, where at that point that I met him, they were the largest leaser of commercial real estate in Florida and one of the largest in the Southeast. Yeah. Now, John, when I first met him, he told me something very interesting, and he did it on that podcast, which is like probably 6-7 years ago now. And he said, you know, there are different seasons of life, and we have to balance our time during each of those seasons. So he said for him, one of his priorities, well, one of his loves, you know, was college football, you know, but he said then when he had his two daughters, he had to basically give up that time he spent on the weekends watching so much college football and devote it to his family, especially since he's a hardworking guy and he's got a lot of time devoted to his business during the week. So he said, you know, this is a season of my life. This was 6 years ago. By the way, his kids, one of them is now in college, and one of them, I think, just graduated high school. So I don't know if college football will re-enter John's life soon here. But, you know, he told me that about 6 or 7 years ago. And then a couple years after the podcast, his mother and his wife both had some health challenges they were dealing with. And so John, I mean, he was maybe around 50 years old, maybe in his early 50s. I don't know. And he announced that he was retiring. And I remember calling up and said, "What? You're retiring? I know you're doing well as a business guy, but you're an entrepreneur. You don't get to retire." But he told me this is the reason he needed to spend more time with his wife and mother during this time. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought maybe something might have been imminent as well. Well, they've gotten through their health challenges. Mm. John's now back. He started a new company. I think it's called Crossmark, which does similar type of work. And he also has a great book. He's an author. And he devotes a lot of time to his philanthropy. He's a speaker. He has a nonprofit, I believe it is, or maybe it's just a professional speaking outfit called Crossman Career Builder. So he's doing really great work, and he's right there in Orlando. And I was privileged, actually, after the podcast, about a year or two later, I actually lived in his neighborhood of Baldwin Park in Orlando for about 5 years. So it was nice to have him as a neighbor.
Oh, that's great. You have a soccer player in here as well?
I do. Speaking of Orlando, Chris Mueller, when I interviewed him in 2020, he was one of the star players on the Orlando City soccer team, which I love soccer. I actually was a ticket holder for Orlando City when I was living there for 5 years. And, you know, Chris was always a very motivational person since he got selected to be part of Orlando City. And I would see some of his tweets and follow him and, you know, always, you know, one of my favorite players on the team. And, you know, when COVID started, about a month or two into COVID, he put out some tweets or whatever that he was starting a book club. And I was like, what, a professional soccer player is starting a book club? So I love books. I love reading. I liked him. I said, great, I'm going to join. I signed up, got the emails. And then I would get emails from him for the book club. So I responded to one of those emails thinking, I think he might actually check these emails. Like, he was 23 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And anyway, I asked him if he'd like to be on the podcast to discuss why he was starting a book club. And, you know, when you listen to that podcast, and I really encourage people to go back to that one. I want to say it was around episode 75 or 70, somewhere in that range. You actually get to see inside the head of somebody who's just really focused on their craft, really focused on building a personal discipline.
Yeah.
And what he said is during those first 2 months of COVID, he, as a soccer player, just like everybody else, had to be isolated from his teammates, from his coaches, from his physical trainers, all these things. Mm-hmm. And from the time he was a kid, he always had coaches, trainers, teammates, people that But he goes, now he had to find his own motivation. He had to dribble soccer balls around cones in an empty park by himself. He had to go for runs by himself. He had to spend time trying to be competitive. He said he would play card games with his fiance at the time just to try to, you know, stay in the competitive spirit. He goes out after, I mean, I interviewed him in June of 2020. We did it over Zoom because, you know, we were all separated mostly at that time. And as a professional soccer player, he was told he wasn't allowed to be near anybody since they were quarantining from their teammates. Right. But he goes out when they start and he comes the first two games. He's the player of the game. Then they go on to win a playoff, you know, go on to go to the playoffs. He gets selected for the U.S. men's national team. He gets married by December. He had a hell of a 2020.
Right.
And, you know, all this is kind of documented in the book. But this is great that no matter where you are, even a professional athlete, you can build an entrepreneurial mindset.
So, yeah, you start off asking or stating, you know, the American dream is under assault. But maybe what you're trying to say is that by surfacing these stories of entrepreneurs who have overcome, especially during now, which is when it's really under assault, the entrepreneurial mind figures out a way, overcomes objections, overcomes barriers, moves around them, thinks of new ways to do it. So you're going to tell me the American dream is not dead. It is alive and well. People have to pursue it a little bit differently than I guess the way that it's been achieved, the pursuit of happiness. It's just there's just different challenges now than there were a few years ago and 100 years ago, right? It's kind of, so you're going to say it's not dead, right?
It's not dead, and it will only die if we let it die. Mm-hmm. You know, if you continue to pursue, and you don't even have to become an entrepreneur in the sense of starting a business.
Right.
You could be entrepreneurial wherever you are. It could be working for somebody else and helping solve a problem. You know, the number one common characteristics that I identify of all entrepreneurs, that they are problem solvers, right? It could be starting a new product or program or department within your company, right? It could be, you know, finding a way to save money. It could be you could be a waiter at a restaurant. And if you are alert, you know, entrepreneurs are the types of people who are alert to opportunities. If you're listening carefully to the customers, and let's say you have customers that keep asking for something that's not on the menu, right? Maybe bring that to your manager and say, hey, you know, I've heard now 5, 10, 15 people say they want this particular item that we don't offer. Maybe we should offer it because people are coming in here thinking about buying it. And if we offered it, there might be an opportunity there. So that's the way to kind of keep your mind open as an entrepreneurial, kind of with an entrepreneurial mindset.
How do people get in touch with you or actually follow your podcast? We'll talk about your podcast and your Fearless Journeys community, but your podcast, how do people get in touch?
Yeah, you can go to any podcast platform, including YouTube or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and search for Agents of Innovation Podcast. Also, I have a community called Fearless Journeys. So my website is fearlessjourneys.org, and people can subscribe to my free newsletter. I think that's an easy thing to do once a week. You get a little entrepreneurial insight, and then also you get to learn about some of the great opportunities we have. If you want to become a member of the community, there's ways to do that too, and you can you'll get access to our monthly group coaching sessions and connect with some of these entrepreneurs who I've mentioned here on your show.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's the American dream is a terrible thing to waste. I love that. 100 Agents
there
of Innovation. There it is. Volume
available
one, by the way.
Available on Amazon.
All right. Volume one, by the way. I love that. I saw that in the introduction. You were saying, yeah, I couldn't fit everything into one, so more to come.
There will be two more volumes. And that's because when I set out to write this, Jason, I really wanted to include the stories of the first 100 people on my podcast.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's about 39 chapters in this book, about 45 people are in this book. And so there will be two more, but this book is particularly focused on how do you build an entrepreneurial mindset. And I hope you're inspired by a lot of the stories of these people and how they did it, no matter which profession that they are in.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I hope everybody joins you on Thursday, May 11th. starting at 6, you're going to be speaking, but tell me again the time.
Yeah, you could come by starting at 4 o'clock, pair this book with some bourbon.
Oh, I love it.
What else? What better way to do it? And we'll be there from 4 to 7. And like you said, I'll give some remarks around 6 o'clock about the book.
Very good. I'll put links down below to your podcast as well as your community as well. So God bless you. Stay on here. I'm just going to hit end on the file. But thank you guys for joining me. This is the Jason W. Hoyt Show, Taking Responsibility for Liberty.